And then these are not coming out when it's a flop, right? They're there.
I mean, you can do whatever you want later on. But
we're not,
to,
like,
would,
doing it and going, boy,
they would
this
have
is
to
a
be
bad
milled
idea.
Out. Right,
let's,
they would have
let's
to be milled
remove
out.
Them. Because
huh?
that's...
Location?
We've done that quite a few times, too. I mean, these are there, and they're there to stay. And
now, here's just real quick, Becky, on it. You wanted it, the biggest thing I thought was between the S-turn, which is from Portland Road up to the S-turn, where Twin Light Road goes up, another,
right.
And before Peak Street, right?
It's between Peak and Miller.
Yes.
Right by the school. Because there wasn't enough, the criteria didn't allow for one to be put on the other side of Peak Street going into the S-curves. There wasn't enough distance.
That's what makes me wonder if there's enough speed. If you can't do radar because...
Yeah, but it doesn't help. If I go one, say, past the school, and I put my foot on the gas, I get up to 30, 35 miles an hour before I get to the following one, which is around the S-turn, which if I don't even look, if I'm there on a cell phone or texting someone, I'm going to end up in somebody's garage.
Well, it's on the other side of the S-curve. You're going to go, you'll go. Say you're coming off of Miller.
Right.
And you're making a left, you're going towards Peak.
I know where it is.
Right, you'll go over one. You're yes. going up into the S-curves, go around the S-curves, you're coming back down the hill towards off the hook. That's where the second one will be.
It'll be as close to Peak.
As close to Twin Lights as we can put it, right.
Well, but the only thing is that there's a great distance between where it is and where the problem occurs. That's where the S-turn is, where the young lady was saying to me, where it goes around, you want them to slow there,
right
on Portland.
But we can't put them there because you can't put them in an S-curve, Kevin. It's part of the criteria. You can't put them in there.
Because that's where the people who live around that area.
Oh, I understood.
Is the problem. But you put a bump, and the guy says, okay, I'm gone.
Right.
So you're not really stopping anything by putting a bump there.
Not in the S-curves, you're not.
No, I'm just saying, you're not doing anything when you put them down on Portland Road and the other in Peak Street. You want to put them before the S-turn so they slow down.
Right. They're positioned as close as you can to an intersection, which, the intersection of Twin Lights doesn't get you that close to the S-curves. So you got to stay on the other side of that. All right. And then the other one, you have to still keep away, again, from the intersections.
But it's
and you still, need, to you still need straight line distance, straight line
it's
clearance.
It's not slowing the traffic down. They're not slowing the traffic down.
Okay, Chief.
As this woman was saying, we've been talking about this since like 2007 or 8. Myself and Mr. Puckup from TNM, we met up there back in 2008. We gave a letter to then Mayor Little. Some of the things that we came up with back then were, we talked a lot about signage, but we knew with the bridge construction and the following construction that's going on now, that couldn't take place until that was done. But signage was something we believe we should enhance. I think that was brought up in the letter that was submitted to the borough also. We spoke, Mr. Buck and I, about the speed bump before South Peep Street from Miller. The only problem with it right there, like you said, is it's kind of in the wrong place. But two, I don't know how school buses are going to fare on that either. Because a lot of school buses are going to work with that. Now, another recommendation we made too was a lot of this has to do with the S-curve. We recommended no parking on a certain portion of the S-curve. So, I mean, everybody's heard about the S-curve. Now the S-curve is a little better. Because that telephone pole was gone, the angle was decreased. But there should be no parking on the westbound side of that S-curve. And there are some things that we came up with. I said, I'll take the speed hump at that help. But no parking on the westbound section of the S-curve as long as it's designed.
Okay, is there a speed control device, whether it be like removable or not, governed under the same specs? You got to put them in the same area?
As far as a hump, there are, when we had the presentation on this, there are temporary ones that are basically made out of rubber that you can put down. And one of the things I talked about at the time, some people recommend a temporary one to see if it's really successful, if it turns out the way you want it, the residents are satisfied with it, whatever, and then you can go to putting in a permanent one.
But are they going for the same area?
Yeah, it's the same question. I mean,
you can't move them closer to where the problem is?
I would not take on that liability.
Okay.
So what kind of speed can we put up there in that road to enforce? Can we go 15 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour, and make it that to slow down the people? If we can't, if the bumps are not going to work, we have to put some kind of signage up there, what I believe in, but you have to make sure that it's slow enough so no one can speed up. And I don't know if you have to stand there or put a car up there, whatever, after for a while, and force it up to the hill.
We've done it.
We've taken it, and it's still...
We've done that, and there is a discrepancy about the actual speed. We put our speed sign up there three different times.
Yeah, monitoring device up there, too, didn't you?
Yes, there's very little speeding. It's the actual S-curve that's the problem. There's very little speeding on the three circles that we've done.
Is there a perception that it's faster because it's an S-curve?
No, it is because of the S-curve. Yes, it is, no doubt.
But the S-curve is nobody stays within the yellow line. Nobody stays within the yellow line. That's the issue with the S-curve.
That is.
People,
and that's what people go
and it has little to do with speeding. It has to do with it's a
design.
It's
cars are parked there.
Huh?
Cars are parked there.
Right.
There's no room if you go if you stay in the lane.
That's why
you hit the rear end.
The parking lot met. We recommend no parking, especially on the westbound side of that, because like you said, you really don't. Even when you're going slow, you go out.
I mean. There are very few cars who are going to take that S-curve at more than 25 miles an hour, which is the speed limit.
Correct.
So it's not speeding in the S-curve. It is the S-curve.
It's the S-curve.
All right? The speeding happens from Miller to South Peak, which is why one is going there. The kids are accelerating. They made the turn. Let's go. All right? And that's one of the biggest components. And people coming off of Portland getting up ahead of speed because that's nice and straight. They're going to get slowed down. This is very little to do with the S-curve itself.
But isn't that where the problem is that the residents want remedied?
No, they want the speed control.
I think that the speed humps will help because it breaks up a straight run on both sides.
There is no speed problem going around the S-curve. You can't go fast around the S-curve.
Yeah, you can.
But I think we also...
That's the problem they're saying.
But I think we also should look at the parking issue.
What they're looking for.
Well, I think it's part of it. I think we need to do more. We need to do what we already have in place, and maybe the signage and the parking, which is what the chief recommended a while back. Okay, but for discussion tonight, obviously the sound definitely sounds like it's staying in.
Yeah, well, at this point, there's no...
Speed control.
There's no motion to pull the speed bumps out of the construction contract, and that's it.
Okay, who would we... Tim, let's start a conversation about the parking issue on the westbound side, like the chief said. Whatever we got to do, a study on it, or get with the chief. And if it's still your formal recommendation, please, you know, in response to what the residents are saying. Because I think if we do both with an increase in signage, there should really not be that big of a problem, the same as there is now.
Oh, so if we do all three.
That's what I'm saying. If we do all three, then I don't know what more we can do outside of having a guy camped out up there all day, every day. You know what I mean? Which I know you've done. I know. Okay.
Thank you.
Borough lot on Highway 36, formerly known as Stymies. Dale, I know that you had done we had conversations about this for a while now. We want to do I'm going to call it a sitting park, for lack of a better word. No parking up there, but a situation where you had done a brief draft, I believe.
Yeah, basically, Mayor, what I did is I was given a prior sketch provided by Mr. Peter Mullen. We incorporated some of the bridge components. So I took that, elaborated a little further, just drew a rough sketch out from what Councilwoman Cain and I discussed in the past as a first responders park, walkway in, some benches. I thought maybe some of those the viewfinders up in there would be beneficial. It would be the focal point would be a flagpole, a guard arm, with a some kind of designation from all four of the
groups.
And then you know, something that maybe, you know, maybe if you really want to incorporate anything else, I don't know if that'd be a good spot for the 9/11 steel you guys got. If you want to keep that downtown, you know, you're going to have the two bridge pillars up there as almost like an entrance to the park.
Right.
And maybe some of the ornamental work.
The railing,
so, So I'll forward you a copy of that.
Make sure all the council.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, it's roughed out. I'll finalize or bring it forward as long as everybody's okay with what we want.
And I think some of the benches, when we talked about the Adopt the Bench program, are meant to go up there as part of the program.
Mr. Mayor, I asked for this to be onto the agenda because at this point the Environmental Commission is volunteering to spearhead whatever we want done in terms of looking for grants but at this point they want to drive to the park.
Drive up there, he's going to have a rough
trip. No. They want to drive to be creating a park versus it had been proposed to make it a parking area.
No. I wouldn't agree with that.
Yeah, I don't think any of us
want
to park it.
That might have been mentioned in the past, but I think currently we've been talking for about a year now about making it some type of passive park, for lack of a better word. We don't want, there's not necessarily going to be any swings or anything like that up there for the kids. It's going to be more of a walk to, sit there, and look out.
Exactly, not even a parking area up there.
So, no parking.
From my point of view, it's premature to get T&M involved in driving up expenses on it. All right, at this point, we should just say to the Environmental Commission, let us know what you think you're planning on doing. They need to get a hold of Dale, they will. But at this point, they feel at this point they'd like to take on that project.
You can take it on. You got your rough draft already.
Sure.
Hand it out to all the council people. Make sure they get it. Feel free to pass it on to, you know, it's not a secret. Anyone you guys want to pass it on to in any groups, and let's go. We'd rather do it sooner than later.
Correct.
I don't think it's going to be a big expense. I mean, there should be very minimal. The benches are going to be covered under the Adopt a Bench program and any other fundraiser we have to do. If we have to, there's no grants.
You're going to have foundations to be built for the pylons and the steel rails have to be refurbished to a degree.
Yep.
And at this point, the Environmental Commission was excited because at this point they're emboldened by the success they had with the bike grant.
Yep.
So that they feel like they might be able to.
And I think it's great for all of us to have a park to the town. You know what
correct.
I mean?
Sure.
The only thing is that Chief find out who's parked up there now and have them removed.
Which we already spoke to Tim. He's in the process of handling that.
And question. At this point, there's stuff. There are cars that go in there every night. We have to stop parking on it. Period.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Not permanent parking.
The town did prior to the bridge construction give permission to people park there.
During the bridge construction, correct. Now that's over.
That's why they're...
Yeah, no. No question we did allow that.
The bridge has been done for a year and a half. So that permission died with the bridge.
Okay. Tim, you had a question?
Yeah, question. We did get an estimate for our guys to put up a fence, if that was our decision to deter. I just want to flavor from the council on what we want to do as a deterrent to parking there.
What's the estimate?
The material was coming in about $600, but it would be chain link with a gate opening. For net cartilage, temporary.
Temporary.
But I
wouldn't want to see chain link fence there, to be quite honest.
I'm sorry?
No, I don't want to see chain link
fence. Okay, but we want to find out, that's why I'm asking from the table, what do we want to do to prevent parking other than sending Chief up there? Do we want to provide some deterrence?
I don't understand the question. I really don't. We drive by in the park, we all see cars there. Stop the car, write out a parking ticket, and be done with it.
My question was, do we want to do anything to deter people from
parking? He's talking about locking it down. Lock it down or write parking?
No, write a ticket.
Chief, can you handle it? I don't have any problem if you go the first time.
There are eight
morning,
or ten cars that are all coming from the same apartment house. If they don't stop by getting tickets, I can't help that.
Let's give them warnings first.
That's exactly what the chief just said. He'll give them a warning first, and we all know it's probably the same offenders every night. And be fair, we did tell them to park there, and no one told them to stop. I know sometimes common sense comes into play, but whatever. You're going to give them a formal warning that the free parking's over, and then they got to pay tickets.
We put a sign up?
Sure.
Yes.
On that post?
Sure.
Thanks.
Question on the flood project?
I've asked for this to be on the agenda. We are committed to putting a referendum for the bonding required for the flood control project in front of the townspeople. That deadline for the referendum to get onto the ballot is August, I believe it's August 19th, Carolyn?
Yeah, it's 2 days after our meeting.
17th.
I think it's 2 days after our
meeting. It is 2 days after
whatever the date is.
August 17th. Mm-hmm. All right, so our problem is that this flood control project is estimated with $4.6
million.
Yes. All right, and we have a FEMA grant for which we are told we are in a good position to receive. We're number three on the list of 20, but unfortunately the top two are going to get awarded. But those things are fluid.
Yeah, one might drop.
But we won't know that by August 17th, so that we are faced with putting a referendum on the ballot for the full, for the cost of the project, right? And so I think we should commission Mr. Padulo to prepare this this referendum, the wording, pass it through engineering at this point, but have it ready for us on the for the next meeting.
Steve, what are we looking at if we don't get awarded the...
Ashley Dale has the numbers. They came from the truck
industry. Yeah, I don't have the ones.
Yeah, they ran the schedules, so I haven't seen it.
I was going to say it was 3.5 cents.
Yeah, I'd have to run them again to see what the loan rates are. Yeah. But at the time, I forget what it was.
They have
my
chance.
Yeah.
2 years ago, we ran it, so...
It was around 3.5 cents. But at this point, my gut feel is we stand a good chance to get the grant. But the reality is we need the flood control project, so we need to move ahead with it. As if we weren't going to get the grant is the way I feel about it. And that's the point of this referendum. And then HBP has promised to help with a publicity program, and we have to get behind it.
We all know we're never going to get certain things done unless we fix the flooding right or wrong. So I will offer if you need an offer to get that done.
We're directing Mr. Padula to prepare a resolution.
And I'll vote for it. I mean, I know Chris is for it too, obviously.
Yes.
Second by Mr. Francie. Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Ms. Gaines?
Yes.
Mayor Nall?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Moving on to review the noise ordinance.
Who's talking to this? Mr. Padula? Chief, I'm sorry, yeah, Chief.
It was me. As you know, several years ago, our noise ordinance was ruled void. We changed it. We made some very good changes in that. We did away with our decibel levels, and we incorporated a 100 feet plenty audible standard. The problem we're having now is that we do allow the playing of outdoor music up until 8 o'clock during the week and up until 10 o'clock on weekends.
Which is Friday and Saturday and Sunday, or Friday and Saturday?
That is Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay.
Friday and Saturday, I'm sorry. Friday, okay. Saturday. The issue we have is we have two different sections of the noise ordinance. And I spoke to Mr. Abdul about this. We have one where we allow bands to play up until that time. On the other hand, we have another section that says that any noise can be heard over 100 foot is a violation. The problem is, I mean, you can, to be fair to the residents and to the businesses, a single person singing can be heard
with no music. Foot.
Yes. So I did a lot of research, came up with a lot of ordinances from many different towns. Basically, I think it comes down to one or two different things. I think the town has to decide if, one, we're just going to do away with having bands outside, or if they're just going to be allowed to play until that time.
Meaning the 10 and 8 o'clock time frame?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did a lot of research, like I said, especially with the decimal levels, which we did away with.
Because that was hard to enforce. It was hard to, yeah.
But even those ordinances make allowances for commercial versus private. They allow more noise later.
From commercial, I assume.
Commercial than residential.
Right.
Many towns, the town of a survey were more like us, store towns with kind of like a mixed use that we have. A lot of towns leave it up to the discretion of the police officer, which I find is kind of it's too vague.
I think it's also not taking ownership of it. They're letting your guy be the bad guy, good guy, whatever.
Yes. I've also found towns where the police don't sign a complaint at all, except their resident.
Okay.
Which I don't think is fair either. So I think we need to either come up with a different solution, or either allow the bands to play, or not allow them to play outside, except for 100 feet.
I think you allow them to play to the time. What's your recommendation? Do you have either way?
Well, I think that's more of a...
I don't want to put you on the spot. I'm just,
I mean, we have gotten complaints during the day that were before the times.
Mm-hmm.
After the time, it's fairly easy.
It's pretty easy, that's what I'm saying.
Usually, we do what's pretty typical. We give them a warning, they don't write them a ticket.
Right.
Which we've done, and that's easy, but it's before the time that seems to be the problem.
Sure.
And we've had problems with Havana, or here in Havana, where during the middle of the day, residents right across the street complained. We've had some other restaurants too that have the same complaint during the day, not after that time.
So what you're saying to help you enforcement-wise, either let them play till a certain time or don't.
Yeah.
It's the bottom line, right?
Yeah, except like I said, I don't think it's fair to either the residents or the restaurants to leave it up to the discretion of the police law.
I think you're here to take ownership of it at this table, not to make someone else be the fall guy or the good guy, whatever.
I'm struggling with the concept of an indoor band can be heard outside. I don't know how, I mean, at this point, Havana or Inlet Cafe or Wind and Sea, I mean, they have curtains, they roll up, and, you know, what is indoors is outdoors, you know, so that these bands are outdoors.
What you're saying is basically they let them play or don't, indoor, outdoor. Is that not wrong? That's
I don't think it's really the indoor-outdoors the issue.
The time.
The issue is the time, and that you can always hear the band more than 100 feet away.
Right.
Yes, you can. No matter
you're trying to enforce an ordinance now that really has a lot of parameters and nothing to really pin it down.
Should there be?
Other than the band issue, the ordinance is...
That's what I'm saying, that part of it, right.
Should there be any control on their sound as it leaves the property? Even within the playing time?
You tried that, you couldn't, right? I mean, I'm not knocking you guys, it was just...
Yeah, the problem is, like I said, the 100 feet rule, which works well for everything else, doesn't work well for a band, because like I said, if you're on a property just singing without any instrument...
I got
the problem. The thing is, regardless of the time, you could still violate the ordinance, because
correct.
Your band
no,
is...
No, I understand the problem, but at this point...
Here's what we
do want some control over the noise...
Yeah.
Even within their playing time.
Mm-hmm. But what the chief is saying...
You do have that now.
You do have that.
Yeah.
It's unenforceable.
Well, it's not unenforceable.
No, it's not unenforceable. You can still give them a ticket if the band is playing within the specified time, but the noise is broadcasting beyond 100 feet.
But we all agree that...
That happens.
We all agree that that's a... That you. What we're saying is, don't have a band, therefore you won't have the noise.
Right.
Or if you have the band... You're going to have noise that you're going to hear above 100 feet.
Right.
And you're going to hear it till 10 o'clock. Or
and you're
going to
hear it till 10 o'clock.
Right.
So that's...
You got to... The chief's asking you to pick one or the other. I don't want to speak for you.
Or maybe it's possible that we could change the criteria for music at a restaurant, maybe instead of 100 feet, 200 feet, 300 feet. You know. I'm guessing at this point.
I think you're just going to still be in the same situation if you do that, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I mean, the reality is
you either let them play or you don't.
Mixed residential commercial. I mean, if you bought a,
from
you
majority
bought a condo
of town?
Across the street from a restaurant, you had to have known there was going to be some sort of entertainment.
I don't think that's a fair comment.
Well,
because all of these restaurants went into place after residents had their houses there.
Wind
and Sea in particular, Havana in particular, these are not long-term...
Yeah, but we grew, like I grew up with Long John's.
Correct, exactly.
It was the same thing.
It was other restaurants there, exactly.
There were other restaurants before these.
Can I just make a comment, please? I know it's probably not out of line.
Don't, because it's a B.
That's the
highest,
yeah.
Don't talk about gravelly or not talking about...
No, but I do want to point out that I had an incident with a neighbor just from my son practicing the drums. So I really think the chief's right. I mean, 100 feet, I think the 200 feet would be better, but I think in our situation with mixed-use development, there's really, I also heard from,
which, by the way, is most
I
of
also,
the town.
Right, the entire town. I also heard from Havana that even when they didn't have music, the resident complained to tell their customers to talk lower when they were outside.
Well, here's the bottom line.
So I think, you know, in fairness, you can always have someone to complain. Just like,
well, there's no question.
You know, just like my neighbor.
If you eliminate it, somebody complains there's no music anymore.
So technically, a student at home practicing their music, I could get a fine if, right. You know, I mean, he doesn't do it after he gets back, what I'm saying. It's small and everybody's on top of each other. So I think it would really hurt the businesses to disallow it. So I think we really have to.
Well, and you also don't want to hurt the residents, and that's why I put the time frames in place.
Right. And I live in one of those neighborhoods.
I understand. I hear Havana almost every other night when there's no air, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
What do you guys want to do? I'm inclined to agree with, I think, what the chief said, and part of the ordinance is either allow the music, and then he has a time frame that you pretty much can enforce. That's pretty easy. It's 10 o'clock, or it's not up to questioning, or don't. You can go 300 feet, then someone's going to have something at 300 feet. You're right back where you started.
Yeah, there's no question. The noise carries. I mean, I hear all of them.
Listen, if, like tonight, most people are not going to have AC on. So you'll hear it 300 feet away if you have no AC on. If I had AC on one night, I might not hear it 100 feet away. So I don't care. That's exactly right. But it can't be then up to my discretion as the resident. The one, like, you know, there has to be an enforceable clean cut. What do you want to do?
I think we should just keep it to 10 o'clock.
Just let them play full times. I would.
So how would you change the ordinance then to accommodate?
You would remove the 100 feet.
No, you have to have the 100 feet because after 10 o'clock that comes into play.
No, 10 o'clock stops.
10 o'clock stops.
You have to have some kind of 100 feet exception for commercial restaurants or something like that.
Okay.
You need the 100 feet for every other situation.
Like neighbors.
That's what I said.
Oh, okay, yeah, so residential still is 100, and everybody else is, they play it, and they stop at 8 and 10 o'clock. Okay. You're okay with that, Chief?
I'm okay. I'm just saying.
That helps you.
Direction, yeah.
Okay. So do we need to update our ordinance, Mr. Padilla?
Yeah, you have to.
Can you have that ready for the next meeting?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. How's that, Chief? They're just going to play the 8 and 10, and residents still have 100 foot thing. Commercial has a... They have 100 foot then.
The 100 feet applies.
Will be removed from commercial. That'll be removed from commercial. Okay. What's next? Mr. Bandrod. Name and address, please, sir.
I'm Bandrod, 268 Bayside Drive. On this noise ordinance, 3 weeks ago, the illegal bar over there in C Street was playing music. I had my air conditioning on. I was sitting in my living room, and I'm 1,000 feet away, and I thought they were playing right in the living room.
What time of the day was it?
5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the afternoon.
The hard answer is they're allowed.
Huh?
They're allowed to.
They're allowed to. But we got an ordinance that says you can't go so many feet, and that's why we put that ordinance in there.
But the chief who's in charge of enforcing is telling us it's hard for him to enforce that part of it.
Well, enforce it. Everybody went up. Two friends of mine, they went down there and they were going to beat the guys up.
Well, then he would have been talking to them too.
They were tired of listening to the music.
They wouldn't have heard it from the jail, so I'm going to throw you that.
One of these questions I want to bring up is, where did C Street get permission? I sat on the planning board for years. We never approved a bar on that property. And you can't get an approval when you come before the planning board unless you did what you were told to do before. And they never did any of the parking lot, they never did any of the drainage, they didn't do nothing that the planning board. There's no enforcement whatsoever. But yet they built a tiki bar down there, they got it open without even going to the board. And I can't see that. And that happens in town. But yet a person goes there with a house, wants something done, oh, you've got to go to the board. Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's an illegal bar. They never complied with the complaining board ordinance that we passed.
Have they met all requirements to be open down there, Carolyn?
Yes, the zoning officer.
The other thing I spoke on last month was a speed bump in Newark. I told you I was up at the VA up there, and I talked to a friend of mine who lives on 12th Street in Newark. They put speed bumps in. They go up, they go 4 feet, and they come. come down. They got an arrow on 12th Street and on 11th Street. These are one-way streets. They got an arrow that's about 8 feet wide and about 10 feet long for the speed bump. They had 18 accidents, 18 cars got hit in front of my friend's house. I don't know what happened over on 11th Street. But people hit that speed bump, and boom. City of Newark is being sued on most of them. And I know when the person hits the speed bump on Highland Avenue, I don't want to be paying court fees as a taxpayer. And I want to ask our lawyer, we'll be paying them because we put speed bumps in. And there was a case in Eatontown where the cops chased a kid, he hit a speed bump and he won the case. Where he went through a store window. Speed bumps are dangerous. There's got to be other ways of stopping that traffic.
I don't disagree, but on the other side of the coin, I have, you know, 20 or so residents up there that are worried about their children and other, you know, and things up there. And
then they'll be down here telling us they hit the speed bump and their car got hit.
That's part of the gig, unfortunately. We get it all at this table, you know. I understand. Thank you, Mr. Mangro.
I'm not finished yet, though.
No, go ahead.
Steve, on the tax bill, starting in January, when we get finished with the 6 months, we're going to go to a one-year tax bill every instead of sending it out twice a year?
Yeah, it'll be the same as
we were years ago.
Yeah, what you get.
January.
Well, the bill that comes out in August will have coupons for August, November, February, and May. And then the next set of bills will cover the rest of the year, first two quarters. So there'll be one bill a year. It'll be one bill. It won't be calendar year, though, like what you're saying there.
And what's our tax rate now per homeowner?
I don't know. I didn't get the county tax certification yet.
We're waiting for the final number.
Yeah.
And the other thing is on Bayside Drive, they're going to pave it, talking with Exxon. But right now, we can't get in there to clean that ditch out. It's full of leaves and bugs because they put the fence up and the water is running down the street.
Do we get somebody in there still?
We tried to address that. There was a requirement that that fence be installed, so I don't know, in terms of ExxonMobil removing that fence for the purpose it was intended to put up, we're going to have to talk about that.
Well, the fence was installed to keep the animals from drinking the water because it's polluted.
And that was a requirement.
Potable water.
That was a requirement that was met by them, so we can revisit that.
Yeah, the dogs and the cats jump right over the fence. Right. So it's not stopping anything, but we can't clean it up. And we got to drive through the water.
Will we visit it after we put the curb in and the entire the stream will be, in effect, channelized, which will make cleaning out it easier.
A lot easier.
No, we hope.
We all, yes.
I know they did it up in front of my house. It's all plugged up now.
Okay.
That was the engineer's design.
We have different engineers now. They do it right this time.
They set up there. All the town had to do was clean it 5 days a week. But the other thing is Trey Avenue.
I know. I appreciate it.
It wasn't a T&M job.
Trey Avenue in front of the BMW, they dropped the sidewalk 4.5 inches. Now they have to, they dug back 4 feet into the parking lot of the BMW. And they're going to pave it. Now, as the sidewalk goes down towards Central Avenue, it goes downhill. I never seen a street in the island where we have flooding that we lower it instead of ironing. We got to lower the manhole cover that was in the old sidewalk. We got to lower that down and go into the new sidewalk. And that, to me, is ridiculous because we're going to flood a hell of a lot more, and we're going to have salt water on that sidewalk, and those sidewalks will last 2 years.
Guys, when I talk to your the design, why we had it.
We'll send Dale down to look at it.
I'll be there.
You'll be there tomorrow?
Dale will be there every day till it's done.
Yeah, I can assure you I'll be there tomorrow.
That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Mandra. Debbie Thoner, please.
Yeah. I guess I'm...
Debbie, I'm sorry, name and address for the record.
Things such as lowering the speed limit from, I think it's
Okay.
We also talked about rumble strips. I think some of them didn't like that for some reason. The electronic speed indicator, I agree with Chief Lewis because I was out there watching and noticing that I was staying on. When that was up there, people were slowing down, which was great. So, I mean, if we could have a permanent one, I mean, I feel they do have them somehow, that might help.
We're going to do the speed bumps. Obviously, we're regulated where we put them by state regulations. And now we're also going to look at signage, indoor parking, and a couple other things, too, ma'am.
Well, how's parking, I guess, how will parking, no parking on that side, help speeding in the S-curve?
Well, no, like Councilman Francis brought up, the problem is when you come westbound on that S-curve, it's so tight that you do cross over that yellow line, even if you're going slower because it's such an angle. Then with cars parked there, you're almost forced over that line, which is, I think, part of the problem. It's definitely part of the perception. And like I said, that was one of our first recommendations back in 2008. Like I said, I mean, in the S-curve itself, people aren't speeding. That's our take. The police department, from the surveys we did, are not speeding there. And that has occurred. But, and we've also had no accidents there, but like you said, it does sort of force you out to that.
Are people going too fast for the conditions? Yes. But does it make them speeding?
Correct.
No.
They're going more than 25. I know that. Often.
I honestly...
I
don't think you can do 25 if you don't cross over the yellow and straighten the curve out.
But they do. I mean, that yellow line hasn't been there that long.
And
people don't care about it. I mean, there's really not enough room to have two lanes in there.
Put pylons on the yellow line, like they do with Lincoln Tunnel. I'm sorry?
Jersey barrier.
Jersey barrier, that'll work. Force people to run to the yellow, they'll slow down and curve crawl.
We're trying to figure out how to space it out under a fire truck, and then we're going to put a Jersey barrier in the middle.
And you're also not allowed to have a fire up by those houses.
That new truck that was on two wheels.
Especially not if I'm driving it, right?
The chief and Mr. Hill are going to come back to us for recommendations at the next meeting.
Okay. And this electronic speed indicator, are
those like cross prohibitive on them? Yeah, like a permanent one. That
might see like in a school area.
There was a school, now it's just a church, but
it's
a daycare there.
What's the cost on them, chief?
Do you guys the one we have is about $5,500 that the DOT actually bought for us because we have issues on the bridge project.
Okay.
They could go up to around 7 if you have, you get solar features on them, you get feedback, you know, computer feedback, to police department, you know, you can do silent radar, so to speak, to get an idea how fast people are going. So there's many amenities, but the one we have was about 55.
Is it in use, the one we have?
This very minute, no. Do we use it? Yeah, this minute, no.
So, to Debbie's point, if we're not using it and moving it around, can we use it by mounting it permanently there?
Or mounting it there until you need it somewhere else.
Well, we can mount it there for now.
Right. And while we discuss the recommendations permanently.
I'm looking for permanent because we had it there for a short time. Part of the time it didn't work. I mean, it wasn't flashing anything. Maybe if it was recording something, but it was charged. The deterrent part was
the visual, sure.
It only flashes if you're going over the speed limit. So if you're going under speed limit, more speed limit, it didn't flash.
But
no, I mean, it did a short bit on the back of the check. It is bad.
Yes,
Dale.
Did you want me to?
Please.
Did you want me to get another contact person I had before and get a couple of prices?
Well, in the meantime, we can use the one if the chief's okay with it. We can put that up there right now. You know, whatever the next few days, while we come up with a long-term plan. Okay?
Yeah.
One more thing. Do we have any information about and timelines about speed bumps and causing accidents and stuff? Do we have?
I'm sure there's data on it.
We don't have any installed in Highlands as we speak, so.
Have we had any that were temporary in cost?
They have them on gravelly. They have them every 3 feet.
Those are moguls.
We can see tomorrow. Like, I haven't received two speed bumps in 4 years.
If you can, make it part of the conversation. Okay. Carol Bucko?
Carol Bucko, 330. I have several issues. Why do we have to buy an indicator if we already have one?
We don't.
All right. Yeah. So we don't need Dale to spend time pricing one.
We already said that.
Already then.
Okay. Honey Park was flooded tonight. Not as badly as it usually is. But I thought we just did a big project to solve it.
Has it been,
I thought the project was going to stop the flooding of Honey Park.
And it will. I was very impressed with how little flooding there was, considering the level of rain. And the fact is, it's not final graded yet.
It's not done yet. Yeah.
All right. There is sod going to get installed, and the sod is going to slope down to each of the drains. I think there's 4 new drains. So 3 drains. But at this point, that final grading hasn't happened yet, Carol. It was very clear to me that it was a much bigger improvement.
I came from Middletown, and the streets were flooded, packed.
But it still was flooded.
There was still more of it.
Also, mind you, there are drains. So there is drain capacity. So if it's a heavy rain in a short period of time,
which today was,
it'll flood drain.
But in the past, that would have been over the sidewalk.
It wouldn't drain.
No question.
What we hope to stop, and I think they nailed it, is at this point there won't be a lake there 10 hours after the rain stopped.
A day was there.
Right.
A day later.
Days. You're absolutely right. Days.
Some people have asked me if I knew anything about the paving on Miller Street and Highland Avenue. And they said they think they're living in Baghdad. Is the paving going to interfere with the operation of the church? Because some people have heard of it.
Go ahead, Bill.
Basically, I talked to Fiore, who's the paver, and advised him. You know, he obviously wants to come in and get it paved and be done with it. They cannot at any point prohibit both accesses to that property. There's two accesses to there. They have to keep one open at all times. You know, keep in mind when Miller's being paved, they can use the other access and vice versa. So you'll have one access open during paving.
Always.
Now, during the paving operation, you're talking maybe a 2-day, 3-day operation in that area.
Wouldn't be on Sunday, is the guess.
They're not going to be paving Sunday.
Okay. Or Saturday.
Or Saturday.
Is the guess.
But it won't be closed on Saturday or Sunday.
No.
No.
I do have, though, a question, though. At this point, who's repairing the asphalt sidewalk for the church?
That's going to be Fuhrer. That's part of...
They're not putting asphalt, they're putting concrete.
No, they're concrete. Putting concrete. The asphalt was there, the temporary. Right. When the concrete comes back, that's one of the things they have to do.
But that's one of our checkpoints at this point. Even though we're not really connected to that, at this point, that's between the church and Fiore. We need to oversee it.
Absolutely.
We need to put the pressure on to make sure they don't leave it undone.
Absolutely. No problem.
Okay, the speed bump issue. I don't live up there anymore, but we had speed bumps in our condo. And they also had speed bumps in one of the condos in around Chalango's area there at one time. And the fire department made a statement about it. So now we're going to put them in the middle of a road. In addition to that, when you come down from the Twin Lights and Ocean Street, there's a big hump there already. And now you're going to put up that hump and another hump between that spot and off the hook. It seems like they would be a little close. Now, the kids do tear down South Peak Street when school is in session. And they do tear out onto Highland Avenue, mostly making a left on it. So, you know, the one between South Peak and Midland probably is good. But as people have said, going around that S-curve, you can't go fast because it's practically a one-lane road at that point. You know, it's like a covered bridge type thing because it's so tight in there. And as the chief said, you almost always have to veer a little bit over the yellow line. So you have to be cautious about cars coming the other direction as well. So I just don't think they're going to solve the problem. And if we have to dig up the street and take them all out after we're done with it, that would be another major project and a major cost.
Ms. Thorne is going to raise the funds as in, through another petition to have them removed, if that's what she wants.
Well, the meet and greet.
Well, I always walk my kids on Highland Avenue, even with the pole in the middle of the sidewalk. So
it's much better now with the sidewalks.
And I think maybe you were looking at it during the bridge construction when there was a lot more traffic. I don't know. But I just don't
think
speed bumps
are going to
go. Okay.
Next.
That's it.
Thank you, Ms. Buckle. Pat Walsh, South.
I'm on South Peak Street, Pat Walsh. I raised my children in that neighborhood also. I grew up in that neighborhood myself. And the speed bumps are just going to be a problem.
Okay.
Now, and you have the snowplow. What about the snowplow and the speed bumps? They're going to tear it up. I just think the speed bumps are useless. Okay. A waste of my tax dollars.
Okay. Tara Ryan?
Thank you, Mayor. First item, a resident of Washington Street asked me to talk about this. During Clan Fest, Washington Street is usually the first street that's accessible to anybody coming into town, mm-hmm. where they go driving up and down looking for a parking spot. Since there's a big issue with Washington Street now, this resident asked that it be considered that Washington Low Bay be blocked off as other streets are at that time because there will be no places to park.
Okay? Good point.
That's one. Okay, two. Okay, the Highland Avenue. When one is on Highland Avenue coming up from off the hook and you come to the area where Ocean Street comes down, there is a more than that. There's a garage. Somebody has a garage that fronts right there. And I spoke to the chief about this a few years ago. The tenant who lives there parks in front of their own garage. The people coming up on Highland are forced. This is the narrowest part of the S-turn. And because that car is there, they are forced to go across the line. You cannot have an option. It isn't like, you know, gee, I really like, I'm going to continue here. You can't. The street is really too narrow. Now, I don't want to see this person get ticketed every day and have to pay for it, but I do think this person should be told, you can't park in front of your own garage.
Highland Avenue and
And Ocean Street. Well,
Like, you know, right there we come to...
There's a pair of garage doors.
Oh, right. And
I wasn't wearing a partner anymore. That's all.
Well,
oh, he is all the time.
It's all time. And that's okay. The first point when people are coming up that direction, at any rate, where they are forced to talk to, forced into, over the yellow line. So perhaps that person could be spoken to.
Okay.
I know parking is tight all
it does raise a question. There's no parking in the driveway. Does that mean if it's your driveway, can you park in it?
But in the garage, you can't now.
But it's a driveway. You're affected.
In front of your own driveway,
yeah. Huh? No.
No.
Then paint it yellow and.
Right. Exactly.
Paint it yellow and.
I received any complaints, so I wasn't aware it was a problem.
Put around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A while ago.
Oh, no, they already have them.
Yeah, for a little while. Okay, thank you. My third issue. Again, Highland Avenue, over the past several weeks, of course, everybody knows all the work that's been being done. So, I live on Ocean Street, and I try to bypass it, but sometimes I don't. Sometimes I go all the way down by Walk the Hook, but sometimes I'll go up Valley and onto Highland. So, not this past week, the week before, I'm all the way up in the S-turn, practically right in front of your house, and that's where the sign says road closed. Okay? So the first time I just turned around and went back. The next day I asked them very nicely, I got out and said, why don't you move the sign back down there? And so people would have to turn around in this tight S-curve, and the gentleman I spoke to was a little rude to me, and he told me it wasn't his job, it was the police department's job. Okay, so I got back in the car, I went around the other way, by Walk the Hook, up Island Avenue to Ocean Street, and it's closed off there too. Okay, it was closed off maybe 35 feet. Wasn't worth calling Tim on that day. I turn around and go to the other end of Ocean Street to go in, and guess what? It's closed off by Jersey City Power and Light. Somebody needs to coordinate. I figured it's only going to be one day. It was 4 days, and they placed it at different areas. And I understand that they're putting drains in at the point of Twin Lights and Ocean, and I can deal with it. But there should be signage. There should be signage, you know, telling people the road is closed. There are a lot of people going up to Twin Lights. I can deal with it. I know how to get around, but a lot of people can't. I think there needs to be a little bit more communication, and perhaps... Tim, I don't know how often you're up there. I don't know how often. Right, but then you can see these things. It just needs to be a little more communication.
Okay.
Thank you. That's it.
Thank you, Tara.
Chief.
Brett Chamberlain. Brett? Name and address, please, sir.
Brett Chamberlain. I'm a resident of Fifth Street. Currently live by a building.
Okay.
You had signed up to ask a question.
Oh, pardon me. I feel terrible. I thought that was an attendance.
That's okay. Oh, that could be even better.
Okay. We're good? Motion to adjourn.
Oh, okay.
Second.
Second.
Aye.
Yeah, there was a lady.